Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-rahmanir rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is We will never quit. America Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ahduhu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Assalamu alaikum. This is Naima Latif, and you are listening to American Muslim 360. Thank you for joining us this morning as we continue our quest to bring healing to our community. And as Muslims in America, we say that we have the answers to much of America's distress. So the question this morning, as we look out and see the vast grip that America has suffered with violence perpetrated in too many cases by misguided young men, the question is, what can the elder men say to those misguided young men that would touch their hearts and help them go another way? Now is the time for the wise among us to step up and to speak up, because the ones who have influence over our youth are those who are taking advantage of their ignorance and causing them to self-destruct. So what does a man say to a younger man to enable him to understand his role as a man? This is a job that can't be done by women. We can be examples of the kind of woman that a man should seek for his spiritual support, but we can't show him how to be a man. And many of us are in the dilemma that we're raising sons, and for whatever happens, the father is not there to give that guidance. And as spiritual as we may be, as prayerful as we may be, as dedicated to our religion as we may be, there's a point in a young man's life when he needs guidance from a man. This is Naima Latif, sitting in for Sister Wasifa Tarver, and looking to our Muslim brothers this morning to step up and be those mentors that are missing in our community. Because right now, the young men who have chosen to join street organizations that they feel give them more of a sense of manhood are not hearing the other voices, the voices that are grounded in spiritual wisdom, to give them guidance. And as a result, they are now destroying not only their lives, but the lives of others. And almost every time, 99% of the time, when we track these senseless acts of violence, we find a broken home, an absent father figure, replaced by a negative father figure, an older man who introduced a younger man to a street organization, a gang, a place where he can feel secure and belonging. And we really can't keep attacking these young men for the choices that they've made, because they can only give what they have received. They can only display what they have learned. And we're in a state of despair. We're calling from here in the city of Chicago, which unfortunately has now been tagged as the murder capital of America. And President Barack Obama came here just a few days ago. And it just so happened that the sister of one of the young women who was in the audience at the school where he spoke was that very day gunned down, found shot to death in the alley, a bullet through her head. And it was said it was gang-related. Somehow the young man she was affiliated with was the target of attack by a rival gang member. And here again, we have violence right in the face of the president, right in the hometown where he's visiting, touching the life of one of the students who came to hear him speak. So this is not something the government can solve. It's not something that the government can make go away. Yes, we need jobs. Yes, we need better education. But what we really need are men to touch the hearts of young men and steer them back to the Creator. And that's a job that takes a certain wisdom. So what does a man say to a younger man who is out of control? You know, we look at the animal kingdom, and Allah tells us that we can gain a lot of answers from the animal kingdom in trying to determine our own destiny and our own purpose and our own direction. A sister from South Africa did a study on a herd of elephants some years back. What had happened was, in this particular area in South Africa, they it was overrun with elephants. So they had begun poaching, you know, and removing some of the older elephants with the longer tusks and so forth were valuable for their ivory, and so they were killed. And many of the older elephants, because of their tusks, were killed, and so many of the younger elephants were growing up with no older males in the herd. And what they discovered, and the sister in her examination of the situation, what was happening is that the younger elephants were starting to attack the rhinos, the rhinoceroses. You know, of course, you know, a rhino is much smaller than an elephant. And they were starting to rape the rhino females, and they were starting to kill the young rhino males. And these young elephants were just out of control. And it was discovered that their testosterone was at an abnormally high level. And so they were destructive. They were destructive to the surrounding villages. They were destructive to the surrounding wildlife. They were not acting in the manner that an elephant normally acts in terms of their own peaceful nature. And so it was determined that these young elephants had grown up orphans, you know, without parents. You know, their parents had been killed. Many of the older elephants were gone. And so what they did, they shipped in, they shipped in a group of older elephants. And these older elephants stood up to these younger elephants and basically got them back in order. And because of the strength, the power of the older bull elephants, the testosterone levels actually went down in the younger elephants. The rates of the little rhino females decreased. The attacking and killing of the little rhino males decreased. And as a matter of fact, peace over time was restored with the bringing in of these older elephants, these older bull elephants that were able to challenge and stand up to and get those younger bull elephants back in order. So the sister, in doing this study, she made the analogy of how the younger men in our community are missing that strong male influence, and their testosterone is out of control. And so these killings, this gang violence, this extreme attack, the rape, and all of these crimes that we see younger men perpetrating on our communities are a result of the absence of older males. This is the conclusion of her study in making that analogy. And so we know that this is really what it takes. The men in our community have been removed in many cases, whether it's jail or death. They have been removed. And so we now have communities where younger males are out of control. The testosterone makes them destructive. So we've got to do something that changes the balance. And it's required that older men stand up and speak to these young men. We know that this is what's necessary. We know that nature shows us a balance. And you look at all of the species in nature where a younger male has to pass certain criteria before he's even allowed to mate by an older male. He must earn his way. He must earn the right to even reproduce. But these younger men in our community, they're not passing any standard of manhood. They're not passing any criteria of worthiness. They're basically making babies. And so we've had several generations of uncontrolled, unguided young men making babies with young sisters who just really don't know, because they don't have the older men to give them that protection until a younger man makes himself worthy. So our communities are like the forests that were out of control when the older bull elephants had been removed and killed for their ivory tusks and left the younger bull elephants to grow up without guidance and without control, and so they became destructive. So how do we rectify that situation? And are the men of wisdom ready and equipped to address these young men? And what words can you say? And what actions can you take to restore order? I'm going to bring in the caller on area code 301-598.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear sister.
This is Sister Debbie.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to mention also something, another example from the animal kingdom, where this was documented as well, where this mother wolf and father wolf, because both of them do raise their kids together, were murdered. And another group of wolves, the men came and got the babies and brought them back to their, I want to say tribe or their pack is the actual word you would use, to their pack to raise them. And with wolves, it's not just the father and mother that raise them, it's the uncles, the aunts. Everybody works together to make sure that these precious beings, these young men and women, or these young children, are taken care of and taught the right way to live and to adapt to the world. So I was just thinking of that, that I don't know if that's an answer, but it makes me think like we all need to chip in. It's all of our responsibility.
Well, that is quite a very powerful point. As a matter of fact, in my book, The Female Solution, we use a number of examples from the animal kingdom, wolves included, in showing how wolves have that extended family structure where there's always a family member that's watching over the offspring. They're never left alone. They're never allowed to be exposed to danger. And so this gives us a guide on how we should have that same kind of family structure rather than us having to depend on strangers, daycare centers, and people who may not have the best interests of our children at heart. We need to have family members that we can trust. When we know that as women, we still have responsibilities. Sometimes we're still working jobs. Sometimes we have to run errands. And we need to be able to trust a young child to the care of someone that has a vested interest in that child's future, which is namely a family member. But unfortunately, our families tend to distance themselves or not see their role or their responsibility in taking care of a niece or nephew, and are we less intelligent than the animals? I mean, you should know that if you have, if your sister or brother has a child, and they have to go back to work, and or they need to go to take care of some business or a meeting or something where they can't take an infant, rather than us say, well, you know, I don't have time, I don't want to be bothered, that's part of our family responsibility. We're Allah is showing us through the animal kingdom that this is what is natural and necessary and required in order for us to protect our children. So, you know, we have children that are being either left alone or left in the care of unreliable babysitters. Sometimes they get abused, and that abuse scars them for life. So these are the things we have to learn. We have to look at the animal kingdom and see what is the way Allah is showing us to form our families for the sake of protecting and raising and guiding our children. And in my book, The Female Solution, we not only use wolves, we looked at birds and how they go about preparing for their children, even building the nest and making sure that the male bird makes sure that the nest is built in such a way that will be secure for the eggs so that the female can sit comfortably on them. And he feeds her. He goes and gets worms and bugs and he feeds her so she doesn't have to leave her eggs and she can make sure they're hatched. And we look at the buffalo herd and how the strong males protect those calves and the cows all will surround the calf and make sure that calf does not fall prey to a predator, a lion or tiger. And you know, we look at the ways that the animal kingdom shows how the males and females work together to make sure those children are well protected. We look at the zebra herd and how the stallion fights off any young stallions that are trying to mate with their daughters prematurely before she's ready to take that step into a
mate. Yes.
So I mean, all of animal kingdom shows us that this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to protect our children from harm until they reach adulthood, and when we don't, then they fall prey to those that don't have their best interest at heart. So this is, you're absolutely right. This is what we are learning when we observe the animal kingdom, and we see that our responsibility is to protect our children and guide them into a proper adulthood.
It's really interesting because in the 1950s and 60s, parents and neighbors looked out for their children. The neighbors would be part of this. Then somehow we got away from it, where it's just like, well, it's none of our business. But, you know, I mean, I'll never forget one time a friend driving me home, and he was driving too fast, and one of the neighbors came out and just started to talk to him, very not respectfully, but, you know, just letting him know there are small children that are around.
Yeah.
And that he was driving way too fast. And, you know, this is when I was 16, and I'm going to be 61, so it was a while back. But I'm just saying, I'll never forget Mrs. Ammerman, God bless her, because it didn't even hit my mind that he was driving fast. But she came right out, and she just says, son, you're driving too fast, and there are really small children around walking, crossing the street and everything. You know, you don't want to be someone that accidentally kills a little child. And I just say, we used to have that, and we used to be where neighbors and other parents would say things to young people. Just to, they it was like having an extra set of eyes out there.
Yeah, and that, you're right. That is what a community is. A community is a group of people who look out for each other. And that's what we allow to disappear.
Because the boy who was driving me at the time, his mother was not present to correct him, so somebody else stepped in. And I don't know why we've gotten away from that, because it's got this thing, well, that's none of our business what they do with their children, and we've become very isolated from each other. And I was thinking also of the actor Mark Harmon. This was a while back, but his sister became like a very serious drug addict, and he went into the courts and got custody of her child to raise the child. And he didn't have any children of his own at the time. But he saw that need, that realized that that child was in danger because his sister was a drug addict and leaving the child alone. It was a very young child. And so, you know, I guess he probably dealt with her as much as he could and then realized he had to go to the courts to, you know, take the child away and to raise a child. This is when, you know, he was married, but he didn't have any children of his own. But he went ahead and stepped forward and said, there's a very serious situation here, and I am the uncle, and I have to do something.
And that's very admirable, because that's really what's needed. You know, when parents are either incapacitated or die, you know, sometimes children get scattered into foster care and families get broken up because relatives, they decide, oh, I don't want to be bothered. So it's very admirable when a family member steps up and says, well, I will raise this child. Because that's what our children need. They need that stability. What we have right now are so many young children that have been disconnected from families. And that's what causes the lack of sensitivity. Well, with your friend that was driving too fast, it's good that he respected the neighbor who gently corrected him, and it's good that he had enough concern for the lives of the young people to realize he needed to slow down, because he didn't want to shoot down the street and accidentally run over a child. And it's compassion that we have to instill in our children, certain values that we have to instill, such as compassion and concern for their neighbor. Those are values that they have to live by. And when they don't have them, when the only value that we've given our children is you need to find a way to make some money, then they don't care if they hurt somebody or kill somebody. Or right now they're living by a whole different set of values. And the number one value is I need to make some money, and I'm going to connect with some people who can help me make some money. And anybody who gets in the way, you know, they deserve to be killed.
I just feel we all have to be more vigilant. For example, I was in where I work at this pharmacy, and these kids were running very fast and about to trip and fall. And, you know, I stepped out and I said, listen, please don't run in the store, you know, because you might knock into someone, you might hurt someone. And they learn. They don't know until somebody says something. And I also am very vigilant. If I'm in a store or someplace and I see a child alone and I cannot see his parents or the mother or father anywhere, I will go up to the child and I will just say, where is your mother? Because that child could be prey to pedophiles, to anything can happen. So we all have to take the responsibility as adults, and we all have to be vigilant and not just think, well, it's none of our business, it's no skin off my nose, when basically we all have to work together as a community.
Yes, we do. We have to. And we have to get over the fear. And I think that's what we have to face, the fact that we've allowed ourselves to become afraid to get involved. We're afraid of getting cussed out. We're afraid of facing some wild, uncontrolled young person, because the media keeps giving us these images of people who are just so out of control. It just as soon as shoot you, it look at you. And so we've gone into that, and I've watched adults silently look away instead of correcting a young person. And I've heard them say things like, you know, these kids, they're crazy, they'll shoot you. And I'm thinking, what happened that we have lost that ability, that mother and father instinct, where you don't approach a child like you're the police, you approach them like you're a mother or a father. And if you talk to them in that tone and you appeal to them in that tone, they will respond to that. It's like we've lost that instinct, because it's there in all of us.
I think
if you correct a young person gently, just like your neighbor did, they respond. They respond to respectful correction and love, because no one returns love with anger. If they feel that you really care about their safety and their security, they will respond. If you approach someone and says, please don't do that, you could hurt yourself, you could hurt someone else, nobody's going to, you know, cuss you out. And if they do, that means that's a person who's been so severely abused that they don't know how to respond to love. And that means we need to have a whole lot of work that we have to give to restore that person to the kind of a humanity where they can respond to love.
Well, and it's a matter of respect, too. I know one time I was in the grocery store, and this was not good on my part. I was moving kind of fast with the cart to get out because I was in a hurry. And there were these two young girls, and I kept saying, please excuse me. And finally I said, please move. And I might have said it a bit harsh. And then the father waited for me outside and just said, don't you ever tell my daughters to move like that. And I said, sir, please, I was concerned I was going to hit them, and I meant no disrespect. And I said, are we good now? I said, please, I really meant no disrespect. I was just moving very fast and worried when they didn't move, when I said, excuse me, that I was going to hit them with my full cart full of food. And I was concerned. And as I said, I meant no disrespect, sir. And I think if people realize that when you're trying to do things like this and trying to help and trying to protect the community and the children of the community, you don't mean any disrespect. You're not trying to overstep your boundaries or anything. You're just concerned about the child and what's going on with them. And I think that's just something, you know, we don't seem to understand in our society these days.
Yes. And then sometimes I think people overreact when there's this heightened fear of being disrespected. And so people tend to, because they have been perhaps mistreated, they tend to be hypersensitive about things. And so it's good that you were able to calm him down and reassure him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he responded beautifully. He was just like, yeah. I said, are we good now? And I said, please, that's not what was my intention. He said, okay, we're fine, you know. And you're right. It's a matter of that disrespect and willing to charge at it that, you know, I think has to be thought of a little more clearly and to see the situation a little better.
Yes. And that means that when someone does respond in a way that is harsh, then we have to have the wisdom to remain calm and not feed into their anger.
Yes,
they're going to respond based on what we do. You know, we can either turn the temperature up and make things even more heated, or we can turn it down by our own calm, cool response. So you sound like you've had wisdom in all of these instances.
Oh, mashallah.
To circumvent anybody's overreaction and emotional upset. And that's really what it takes. That's the power of the spirit. When we're able to return love and calmness and compassion to somebody who might be disturbed, and we actually change the vibrations in the atmosphere. We actually
yes.
the energy in the atmosphere, and we can change an environment by just our own vibration.
Well, I've learned that so much from my Muslim brothers and sisters at the Muslim Community Center, just because I used to be very reactive. Like, you know, I thought if someone was disrespecting me or getting in my way, you know, I felt like I could, mm-hmm. I had to shoot them down, you know, and that's just all ego. And I've learned from my
yes.
Muslim brothers and sisters that, no, and I think I've told this story many times on American Muslim 360, how one time, when there was, I'll tell it real fast. I don't want to take up your time, but there was this.
Yeah, another caller on. We'll go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I can come back.
Okay. Well, hold on. Yeah, we're going to bring in to the conversation our caller on at area code 813-409. Thank you for calling American Muslim 360. Give us your name and your comment.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Bilal from Scotland.
Ah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yay, Bilal.
Bilal, look. I was in the lab since about 4:00 this morning, and I had to do something because a lot been pressuring me. So I was into it so deep, I forgot that the program was on, the waiting to share. I'm just a little time, sister. Please bury me just a little time. This is something from a student at one of our schools. If your brother and sister come to you telling you something that could make you a better Muslim, then we should say a heartfelt thank to you to that person. Ask Allah to reward them for doing so. Inshallah, to take the advice. Being wrong is a humbling experience, and sometimes it is that humility that we need to be truly able to accept some of the other shortcomings and to work on them. Now, this is a student at one of our schools. Now, how did a student get like this? Okay, now, this is something I'm working on.
Yeah.
I'm working on a dictionary, okay? And I want everybody to work on the dictionary. And I want all of us to buy the dictionary. Now, I'm going to give you the words of it. This is a concept. One of the words in the dictionary is cultivate. That is what Allah wants the man to do, to cultivate. We know the history of the wide rise of families, the growth of families into communities and societies, into nations and cultures. The history of its growth of the man interacting with his material environment. Now, another word in my dictionary, our dictionary, is material environment. The material environment singles certain messages to the human mind, and the human mind, once you get attracted to that, will go and engage the material world. Firstly, as a farmer, the agriculturalist was the first, and behind the agriculturalist became the manufacturer. Then came the industrialist. Time comes the wonderful material world of plenty that we have in these modern times. This is correct history. Now, this is the last word I got. Now, history is another word in the dictionary. History is what every human being who wants to do better with themselves need leaders for their leaders to reflect on, or at least should have their leaders to reflect on that, so the leader can keep us in touch with the history that has stood us up as men, as a people, so we will avoid that it takes us down from the higher place. So God, Allah, charges the man the responsibility to culture the environment. Now, what is taking place is that it's really nothing but the words of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. But I want us to put this in a dictionary form, and then even to the point that we take age appropriate and we begin to write our books and show, you know, for the kindergarten, for the primary, and we go on and on with this. And we can the knowledge is already here. We can contact Muslim Journal, get the stuff from the archives, and understand, and just, you know, all us, all throughout the United States, say, look, we're going to do this. And just go into the articles and just pick your word out and do it. I don't care if you write one page. And all us email to Brother Tom or whoever wants, you know, just email it to a central point, a website, however the ones who know how to do all this do it. And then we take that, formulate into a thing, we all buy it. To our school, we take the money and we buy and get more schools and we build like that. It's very, very simple. Inshallah. And I really want us to, because I'm pressured now. I'm very, very pressured. And if we don't do this, and we don't come up with good leads, we don't have people beginning to talk like this student talk. And this, indeed, this is your creator, WW Contact. You know, you are a creator in the Muslim Journal. And these are the way the students talking. And as a result of Muslim teachers in the environment got control of it, they can do what we have to do. And if we don't do it, we're going to constantly be given, we'll send ourselves, we'll send our children back into slavery. You know why? Because we won't have the institution to influence them. You know,
that is
we can do this now.
You're right on point. We got to know that the institutions that don't have the spiritual foundation cannot guide our children. We have to create those institutions. You're absolutely right.
Oh yeah.
You have to have a foundation that recognizes your responsibility to your Creator and your fellow human being above and beyond anything else. That has to be the foundation. Right now, our educational institutions, the foundation is try to learn something so you go out and get a job and make some money. You know, and the acquiring of money has been the focal point of everything in this society. So that's why our children feel justified in abandoning any sense of moral standards, because, you know, if the person who is admired in your community is the one who's wreaking havoc with drug dealing and crime, but we admire them because they're driving a new car and wearing nice clothes, then how can we condemn them because we're encouraging it with our own values? So we have to push the values of human life as what is admirable and what is the goal, as opposed to a financial standard, which does not define what a person is on the inside. You're absolutely right. Our institutions have to reflect the moral values and the standards and the principles that we're living by as Muslims. Otherwise, our children will be forced back into slavery. And that's what the prison system is right now. It's the extension of slavery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking... Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal. I just was thinking, you know, it's interesting. There's this Catholic school right around the corner from where I live, and it's got a big waiting list because a lot of people from the inner city want their kids, even though they're not Catholic, to be in this school just for the safety and to learn and everything. I think it'd be so great if we had, like the Catholics have, we had Muslim schools out there where even non-Muslims want their children to come because it's a safe environment and they're learning and they're growing up and they're learning how to respect and be with people and to be safe and not to be fall into these pitfalls of drug abuse, gangs, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's a good thought. You know, maybe the schools you're working with or the structures you're working with would be open to those who are not of the Muslim community but need the influence for their own
community. Need the Muslim influence of how to relate and to grow up and to be with people and everything and be in a community. That would be absolutely amazing.
So, Brother, let me ask you, what do you think some of the challenges of that be? Now, one of the things that I recall, you know, when I because I actually, my daughter went to a school that it was an African-centered school that was started by, matter of fact, Betty Shabazz International Charter School was the school that my daughter attended here in Chicago. And the students that attended that school pretty much came from families who had a certain level of consciousness, of culture, of values. And, you know, there are a lot of Muslims that attended the school, some that were more, you know, Pan-Africanist or even following the various traditional African religions, Yoruba, you know, a few people that were of those faiths. But there was a foundation that the school promoted in terms of respect for self and community.
Yes.
And so I saw the students flourish. Now, the challenge came when the government said, okay, you can't restrict the enrollment. You have to allow the neighborhood children to attend. And the environment began to change when families enrolled their children that did not have that same level of consciousness and commitment to spiritual base, family, community. You know, we saw the environment changing. You had kids coming over, excessive profanity and all of that, self-hating kind of behaviors, fighting. So it was a challenge when we had to open the doors to people who did not have that foundation in the culture.
Well, it's interesting.
So how would you handle that, brother?
This is interesting. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bilal.
Okay. Here we have American 360 right now, right? Y'all on the radio right now, right?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Nobody can do us nothing. We can say what we want to say, you know what I'm talking about, correctly from that. In other words, our children already technically there, all right? So let's use the technology to teach them. If they're not in, let me tell you something, if they're not in around children, who dress in any kind of way, if they're not around children where they're going to be affected with the sex thing, which is naturally, you know what I'm saying? If they at home in a guarded situation environment, okay, we won't have to be concerned about that. You won't have to be concerned at all. It's very, very easy. We do it every day on American 360.
Yes. But the challenge comes when you need to take that influence to people who are not connected to a spiritual community at all.
Right. Well, it's just interesting because the Catholic school is a privately run school. And they very much, because it is private, they can say who they can take and who they can't take. So I don't know if that's any help, but I'm really... It's amazing the government would come in and say something like that, you know.
That's what happened.
Is that what happened? That's terrible.
It had been a private institution. It started out with being Institute of Positive Education, run by Haki Madhubuti and Safisha Madhubuti, very highly respected, you know, not only in Chicago, but, you know, worldwide. Of course, this is the founder of Third World Press, so in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the things that caused me to get involved with that school was when I was in college, he came to one of our college conferences, and, you know, we always ask, well, what do we do about the conditions in our community? How can we help our people? And he said, we have to, like the brother just said, we have to have our own institutions.
Yes.
And that just made so much sense to me. So years later, when I came home, got married, had a child, and I heard he had a school, I enrolled my child in his school, which started out as preschool and then kindergarten, and it was a private institution. Well, you know, for financial reasons, they saw it made more sense to establish a charter school and therefore get some level of financial backing from the government. As a result, you also have to follow those government guidelines. You have to follow public school guidelines, which means you can't just restrict it to certain people. You have to open it up to everybody, and that's when the challenge comes, because not everybody is indoctrinated with the same understanding.
Yes.
So when you have children coming from families where, you know, they might have fights going on, alcoholism, sexual abuse.
Drug abuse.
Drug abuse, things like that are going on. the children are bringing that spirit into the school, that angry, hurt, destructive spirit from their homes into the school. And so that's when we're really challenged to try to transform those lives, because one thing that I experienced was the fact that no matter what they may have learned in school, they had to still go back home to that negative environment that reinforced all the things we're trying to unlearn. And that's what we've got to figure out how to do when we have, when we do have Muslim schools, we do have schools that are private and are spiritually based, then we've got to be able to, we've got to be able to have a stronger influence over the lives of children who do not have that influence.
Assalamu alaikum.
That's what we've got to try to do. Walaikum
salam.
Now, look, Sister Debbie.
Yes.
You don't let nobody come in your house and do what they want to do in your house.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now here we go then. Imam Muhammad told us again. He said, get your communities. Numadina, he said, get your communities. He said, and lift the people. He said, let them come in. You know, he said, you want non-Muslim there? And they'll say, wow, look how the Muslim live. Well, one thing about in our community, once we own our communities, they ain't going to have nobody riding around on little bikes selling no drugs and dope in our community. See, the thing about it, I think that we think we don't know how to make money. I put a $1 trillion idea out there. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to pray to Allah so hard that other people going to do it too. The ones who got the bank, y'all going to do it too. And everybody going to support each other and we going to have it. And they're going to get done. Simple mathematics. Really very, very easy. Very, very easy. And we can do it. I mean, look. Let me see, we have to do it. The power of Allah. I know how I used to live, and we know all the way around how most of us used to be. Look how we are now. Come on.
Yes. Yes. We've made a transformation, and so can others. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be joining our other station for our short 7 a.m. I want you all to hold on, and those who are holding on, press 1 when you're ready to join our conversation. Those who are listening online, of course, call in at 646-716-4478. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a moment. And you're listening to American Muslim 360. We'll be back in just a moment.
حديث نمبر 20
عن أبي مسعود عقبة بن عمرو الأنصاري البدري رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت رواه البخاري.
On the authority of Abu Mas'ud, Uqba ibn Amr al-Ansari al-Badri, radiallahu anhu, who said, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, among that which people knew from the words of former prophecy is, when you feel no shame, then do whatever you wish. Narrated by al-Bukhari.
Can't touch this. American Muslim 360 is
too legit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this.
Well, it's income tax time again. Do you want an easy and affordable way to get your taxes done? Take the guesswork out of what to file and how to file? Just go to hhfasttax.com, hhfasttax AssuredTaxes.com and file your taxes online with the assurance that you will receive the maximum refund for the minimum price. That's HHFastTax.com. And as being good stewards of our community, HHFastTax is donating 25% to AM360 and WDM Community Center. So help yourself while you're helping others. HHFastTax.com.
We're back. You're listening to American Muslim 360. I'm your host, Naima Latif, and we've been talking about how we can have the impact in our communities and influence in our communities to turn this tide of violence and destruction around. And, of course, the callers who have participated have given us some very powerful insight in what we have to do as a community in reaching out to mentor those young people who have been misguided or just not guided at all. But it takes courage, and it takes, most of all, love. You can always correct wrong behavior if you do it respectfully. But as we create institutions of learning where we're teaching and guiding, we have to set the standard for those institutions, and we have to create the culture that we want others to follow. And as my brother pointed out, of course, if you invite someone to your house, then they've got to follow the rules of your house. We've got another caller I'm going to bring into the conversation. Area code 727557. Thank you for joining us on American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum.
This is Martha Nyla Williams from St. Pete, Florida, New Africa, USA.
Yes, ma'am.
Alhamdulillah. The reason I continue to say that, I'm drawn to two things. And one is when I think of all the days of my mother and my father raising us, my five siblings and myself, the nuts and bolts were not, they were the tenets of the faith in the house, you know, being taught, and the tradition, the womb that she developed, and I mean my mother developed it by walking through the house and singing, so much saying, you sit here, you do this, you do that, don't do that, stop that. No, my mother sang what was in her soul, in her heart. And as she sang it, it mesmerized us, so to speak, and it got us, and she worked and did things with us, even cleaning the yard. She's out there with us. So I'm saying that that's a social engineering process. And that's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created as a social being. But the intellect, the desire to do better is seen in the improvement process from growing up and tying your shoes. And if we follow that stage of development, we can see. So when we the scheme of Satan, as Imam Warthy Muhammad rahimahullahi alayhi said, look at the scheme of Satan. It wants us drawn to or looking at what we need to do to stop something from doing, instead of what can we do to get into the flow of the life, you know, to see it as a blood flow. So human beings are already present, and if we inject ourselves in a manner of the socialness, the communication process on a lower level, and it evolves to the higher level, it gets to the higher level. I've written a direct action on the leadership of self. Praise be to Allah. And through that whole segment is just simply asking simple questions. Are you human? You know, what does a human do? And go from step to step. And then at the end of it, communities begin to acknowledge individuals, acknowledge them as being human. Recognize Thomas was talking the other day about celebration.
Seconds.
So,
yes.
Alhamdulillah, I won't keep going, but the social awareness, and then we can move from there, inshallah.
Yes, well, I totally agree. And, you know, I think we have so much wisdom in our community, so much experience, that we need to take our experience and share it with those who are still trying to figure out what to do. I think that it's a critical thing now for us to step forward with the programs we've developed, with the institutions we've created, the schools, the after-school programs, the training programs, and everything else, and the philosophy, so that we
4 minutes
really
until showtime.
So that we can really help those who are baffled as to what needs to be done. And the reality is, our communities are suffering because people don't know what to do. And we know that we've had pockets of success in various places across the country where we've employed what we know, where we have been able to strengthen our communities and surround our activities around our worship, around our principles and values and lifestyle. We've seen success. So we've got to share that success in a very strong way at this point, because the society is crying for help. And young people, they pretty much go where they see strength. And so when we've got a strong community, that attracts.
3 minutes until showtime.
The reason why young people have not been guided in a way that is productive is because they're seeing weakness. They're seeing us act like victims, like we don't know what to do, and we can't work together, and we can't support each other. And so they're following structures where they see strength. You know, they see gangs where there's mutual support and there's encouragement, and even though it's for the wrong things and maybe even selling the wrong products, but they're seeing entrepreneurship in a way that they're not seeing from us as adults who should be providing a means for them to support themselves. So those of us from the spiritual community that have guidelines and have a history and have a system, we've got to share that with those who don't know what to do and are baffled, and the only thing they can think of is put our young people in jail because they've lost control of them.
2 minutes until showtime.
They've lost the respect of them. So that's our responsibility to bring back that guidance. And Sister, you're absolutely right. You know, we have so much that we can offer if we would just use the wisdom that we have. And, you know, we really do have a way of changing this situation, but we have to have enough confidence to employ it. Now, in our next hour, I'll be joined by a couple of guests from the TV show Woman to Woman, and they're hosting their annual awards ceremony and honoring men who have had an impact in the community and had an impact on the media images that shape our impressions of each other. And
1 minute until showtime.
The men that they're honoring are those who have showed an example of how to mentor, how to give guidance, and how to give a positive direction for those who really have been misled and badly influenced. And so we're going to talk to our guests in the next hour, Wanda Carter and Margot Richmond, who are producers of the Woman to Woman TV show. And of course, you can get it on the internet as well as various cable channels. But we'll talk to them about the responsibility to bring forth positive information for our young men and women to follow, and honoring those who are doing things that make a difference. So we're going to take a quick break. And
your show will go live in 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime, violence, and poverty if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, and my co-host, Sister Wasifa Tarver, and Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, every morning, Monday through Friday, from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, here on Blog Talk Radio, as we connect with women everywhere and learn how to form healthy relationships. Collectively, we can heal our world. But first, we need to heal ourselves. Call in and join our discussion. 347-539-5639.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to The Female Solution. I'm your host, Naima Latif, and I have with me my co-host, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams. And this is Wednesday, so of course we're also joined by our American Muslim 360 audience. And we'll have an opportunity to reach the world as we present solutions to today's challenges. So I want to say good morning to my co-host, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams.
Good morning. God bless everyone. Thank you.
And we've got some very wise women on the line with our American Muslim 360 audience. And we've been talking today about how to reach those who really have been misguided and don't have a foundation for learning moral behavior, learning ethical behavior. And today we're going to talk to a couple of sisters who are honoring some of the men in our community that have, in fact, been those mentors, as well as who've been working in the area of the media and changing some of the images and changing some of the messages that we're giving to the public. And we also are going to talk about the upcoming Woman to Woman Awards ceremony coming up this Friday, and why they selected certain people to honor, and what kind of messages that we want to promote. We know that the mass media has such a powerful impact, and now we've got the internet, you've got cell phones that can play movies, that can play TV shows, can play music. So we're actually connected around the world, and we have the power, as a matter of fact, the brother said earlier, you know, we have the technology to reach the entire world now. So we can actually put out the message that we want people to hear and digest and be influenced by. We have the means in our hands now. We have the means to connect the world. So what message do we want sent? So, of course, welcome those who are joining us this morning on The Female Solution and also my American Muslim 360 audience. And want to say welcome to my sister here in Chicago, Wanda Carter. Good morning, and thank you for calling and joining us this morning on The Female Solution.
Good morning, Naima. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And for our listeners, of course, this is a very dynamic sister who is a longtime media expert in producing television shows. She's done radio, published newspapers, and has really been a community activist in some of the most challenging neighborhoods in Chicago, the Inglewood area, where the whole country now is focused on because it has been such a hurtful place where businesses have gone and left the community desolate, left very few opportunities, and as a result, it's been ripe for gang crime and violence. And this is a sister who has been in the trenches, working with our youth, working with homeless youth, teaching them the media trade. She's also been publishing a newspaper, the Chicago Communicator, and exposing those stories that often get ignored. You know, people who have something to say and tend not to be heard. And so she has really given a voice to the voiceless over many years. And now she and her associates have developed an awards ceremony that honors those who have been in the trenches making a difference. Last year, of course, the Woman to Woman Awards selected some of our media sisters who've been out here with a positive message, a positive image, and have made the mass media available to the masses. And so they have, they were honored last year. Now this year, they included some men as honorees, and men who have been creatively reaching out through the media and through their skills to touch the hearts of people. And this is what we've been talking about, is touching the hearts. That's where the battle is. So we do appreciate what you have done. Of course, those who are holding on, press 1 to join our conversation. And we look forward to inspiring those in other cities to do what's being done here in Chicago. And we know this is a place where so much happens, so much is initiated here. And so,
yes.
And, you know, I want to let you all know that you're listening. You're also connected to our American Muslim 360 audience, and of course that goes across the country, around the world. And you have an opportunity to inspire them with your work you're doing. I want to say good morning to my good friend Margot Richman, who's also the initiator of the Woman to Woman Awards. Good morning, and thank you for calling and participating in the Female Solution. Now, I want to ask both of you all, what inspired you to select men to honor this year? The Woman to Woman Show, of course, it's dealt with a variety of topics and subjects, and from education to employment to real estate to health and all of these things that enhance our lives. But, you know, we've got some dynamic men that have worked to help make that show possible. But give us some of the things that went into the decision to honor and support and encourage men who are doing some of the things we say need to be done. Mark, I'll give you a chance to kind of get this. This has been a vision of yours, and you've been a long-time community activist and a very influential person in the lives of many over the years. But give us your view on what inspired you to reach out and honor men this year.
Well, it's always been the reality of life is that after the first 5 days, as God was creating life and creating the world, that on that sixth day he created man first. And so I'm one of the ones who believe. Also, I have 9 brothers, and then all each and every last one of my brothers are very, very, we're very close. So throughout life, I've just always felt that men were put in the back burners, although they took the lead and they took the forward part of it. But I always, from the day that I was born, realized that women are going to take their rightful places, but oftentimes the men are pushed back to the side. Some of the ones that are not able to take care of themselves at certain points in their life, they're just not honored. They're just not giving the free rein. So in most cases, they take their rights. So this year, last year, in my heart, is that we must begin to do more things to motivate, to encourage our young youth and our older men. So this is who I believe to today, that hopefully after this event is over, that more people will begin to share and looking at the people who are not in the media, but the people that are with us every day. We're talking to them on the phone, we're visiting them in the hospitals, in the jails, that we begin to honor them because they do have a past. And all of them have not done negative things. But if God forgave David, he forgave all of the ones and out throughout the Bible and throughout our history, surely we can forgive and go on and celebrate life as he put it here for us.
I like that point of view, forgiveness, because, you know, there is greatness in all of us. And we all, as the song says, we fall down, but we get up. And I think that you measure a person not by the worst thing that they've done, but by the best thing they've done and by the potential that they have to do great things. And so I like that point of view in being able to see a person beyond their lowest point and see them at their highest and their potential highest and encourage that in them. I think that is a wonderful premise to honor someone. And certainly it has an impact when a man knows that he is valued regardless of how life may have kicked him around, he is still valued for the greatness that he has done and is manifesting and is striving to manifest. So I think that you are very insightful, sister, and you exemplify what the spirit of a woman can do in changing a situation. And I appreciate the fact that you chose to put together this award ceremony in order to uplift the spirits of those who may have felt that they had not been appreciated for the hard work that they've done. So I do thank you for that. And my sister Wanda, of course, you know, you work so hard, and I'm trying to be like you when I grow up.
Oh, there you go. Now, don't lie. As wonderful and great as you always have been, Ms. Naima Latif, I think that I was so pleased when Margot suggested that we honor men as well as women because, as she said, our brothers play a major role in our lives, and the men that we have selected have played really wonderful roles in their lives, and I think what they've done needs to be acknowledged. Each one, I have a passion for each one in terms of what they've done, because the brothers that we selected are brothers that we know personally and the contributions that they've made in life. And, you know, each one is a special and unique personality, as we all are. And I take great pleasure in honoring people for what they have done in life, the good they've done in life. And we've all had some things we have to sweep under the rug. But to bring out what people have done positively in life in one way or another is what we want to acknowledge. And we always need to uplift our brothers because our brothers, without them, I don't think life would continue. You know what I mean? We have to have both of us in order to make life what it is. And so their contributions are very, very critical. And that's what we want to acknowledge. We want to lift them up and let them know that we love them.
Ah, so wonderful.
That love is always first.
Yes, it is.
So I admire them, and I specifically admire you for wanting to push it out there and let people know, please come out and salute our brothers and our sisters. This particular celebration is called a salute to our sheroes and heroes.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and so and we have both, and we won't be able to salute and honor all, but we're going to start with this group of people on this Friday, which is the 22nd, from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Harvey Community Center, which is at 15320. Center Avenue in Harvey, Illinois.
Harvey, Illinois, which is, of course, adjacent to Chicago for those in and around the Chicagoland area. And, of course, for those of you all in other cities, it will be taped and televised. And you want to give us where they can go to watch the woman-to-woman TV show on the Internet for those who are outside of Chicago?
Yeah, so anyone can see it as long as you have a computer and access to the Internet. You should go to www.youtube.com/woman, spelled out W-O-M-A-N, the number 2, Woman Again TV show.
Okay.
And that's
www.youtube.com/woman2woman TV show.
Correct. And every show that we do will be posted to the web, so you know that this show is going to be posted. And then you can watch it at your convenience anytime that you want to watch it 24 hours a day around the clock.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to this opportunity to see everyone and to honor these select few. And have fun, because after the award ceremony, we're going to
eat, and be merry.
Well, that is wonderful. You know, and I'm hoping to inspire this kind of effort in other cities. You know, we've got our audience that spans the entire country from New York to California, and so many places we have the same struggles of really the challenge of overcoming a very negative society. And we have now the technology to reach every human being,
yes,
heart to heart. And so with cell phones in our hands, a lot of people's cell phones, you know, are equipped with internet capabilities. You know, smartphones can watch a TV show or watch a radio, listen to a radio show. So we have the ability to put out a positive message to everywhere in the world right now. And we can counteract all the negativity. And I admire the fact that you all are honoring those men who have stepped up and who are striving and who will overcome some odds. Like you say, we've all got things we want to sweep, we need to sweep under the rug that we have done. But that's part of our life journey and overcoming challenges. Because this is a learning process. Life is a school, and we're learning how to love. We're learning how to be better human beings. And so every challenge that we have faced is one that helps us grow even further. And so I appreciate you all acknowledging the growth and the victory of many of these men who have, like all of us, overcome some challenges and begun to manifest the best in themselves. We've got a caller. I'm going to bring into the conversation on area code 312-371. Thank you for listening to The Female Solution. Give us your name and your comment.
It's Brother Gator calling from Chicago.
Ah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, we are certainly honored for your presence today, and you have always been one that your voice makes a difference from the White House to State House to, you know, the jailhouse.
Hey,
everywhere.
I'd like to commend you women for doing what you're doing.
Oh,
because sometimes, majority of the times, we don't even seek out awards. We appreciate the blessing that God give us by allowing us to redeem ourselves and to service the community, because we know what would save the babies. And what I mean by that, we're hearing a lot about the gun issue, the gun issue, the gun issue. But one thing that, for some reason, people forget, that the gun is nothing without the bullet.
That's right.
And what I mean by that, we have a standing in the streets. It never died, and it's called 21st Century Vote.
Uh-huh.
In the 90s, when the violence or the senseless shootings and killings led to 1,000 homicides, we made a move through 21st Century Vote to grab a young adult's mind to pick up the ballot as opposed to the bullet.
Mm.
And it made a difference that was so profound that, don't get me wrong, one death of because of senseless violence is bogus. But we brought it down to 600. So that's something that I'm putting out today to the young adults. And if God bless me, I'm going to find a sponsor to put on commercials on the radio stations. And it's going to be this. In the 2nd Congressional District, I'm asking the young adults and the older adults, be they gang members or no people who are gang members, let your voices be heard in that 2nd Congressional race. Put down that bullet, pick up that ballot, because you still have a constitutional right to vote. Vote in that election. I'm saying, and me personally, I'm saying vote for Robin Kelly, because I see that there's a chance to keep the district where it was meant to be, which is an African-American district. You have three districts, the first, the seventh, and the second. Brothers and sisters, come out and vote February 26th. And don't believe the media hype like the guy from New York, Bloomberg, whatever his name is trying to buy the district. He has a strong push against gun violence all across the country. My thing is, when I went to the forum, I was a host at one of the forums in Pullman.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw how many people was running, they got a right to run. But the name of this game is numbers.
Right.
That woman's going to get all the white votes. Make no mistake about it. There ain't no colorblind election. And to see 25 people, I know it just broke down because now they realize that they don't want to be a part of being responsible for this
right.
district not being ran by someone that we can hold responsible. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Now, for those who are in other cities, and the whole country knows about this, of course, the 2nd Congressional District was the seat held by Congressman Jesse Jackson, Jr., before he resigned. And that's been, you know, top news around the country. And what the impact it's had here in Chicago is that we have to have a special election, and many people decided to run for that seat. You know, it got to go on. It was a joke, like you said, that 25 people running for this congressional seat, some people who had never been in politics before, and people had various motivations. Some just want to get their name out there because, you know, they wanted to get in politics. Some really do have some serious issues that they have raised. But, you know, we're looking at this is a vast area, and they've extended part of it is a rural area. Congressman Jackson had been talking about building a third airport out there, which, again, is connected to generating jobs. So what we're battling here in Chicago is being fought across the country is the economic disparity that is fueling the violence. When you don't give
right.
people options and all they have is a drug trade and managing that trade through violence and fighting over territories to sell the drugs. I mean, that's what our communities have been left with. So we're looking at putting a congressman in office, a congressional representative in office that understands the critical need for economic development in our neighborhoods, as well as somebody who is responsible to our needs and can
right.
address that gun violence situation. I mean, we've got the NRA trying to keep any restrictions from gun
right.
sales from happening. And we know that we're the targets for these gun sales. We know that
right.
our urban communities are the targets for drug trafficking, for the drug importation around the world, from Afghanistan to every other place that we're at war. The real battle is who's going to make money from selling us drugs. We know that's
right.
the foundation. So we've got to have a congressman that is, or congresswoman that is clear on that and is honest about that and can be open
right.
about it, and it, we know is on the right side. So that means you can't have
right.
a whole bunch of people running, and then they all defuse the vote, and then it ends up going to somebody who is sort of kind of leaning with the NRA and maintaining the gun
right.
sales to our community. It's a life
right.
and death question.
You're right. So you know something else? The one brother that's in the race, and he know he may not win, but he's on in the race. That's a young brother named Paul. He's in the race to make people aware. And what I mean by that, the 7th Ward has the biggest development going on in the country, if not the world. That's Southworth development. Those are going to bring thousands and thousands of jobs. That's in the 2nd Congressional District. That was held by Sandy Jackson. Okay?
Yeah.
My thing is this. And, sister, I need y'all to put this out through the social media that Wallace Gator Bradley, former gang enforcer, okay, believe that 21st century votes still do exist, and he's telling those young brothers and sisters who registered to vote for the first time because of Barack Obama, use your power to elect Robin Kelly. So when this go out, they would know that Robin Kelly would know that these young adults who have registered to vote in big numbers because of Barack Obama is saying, Robin Kelly, we want you because we are concerned about the future for our children.
Listen, I've got a question. I've got a question.
I have a question for Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Bradley, this is a person who have known you for many years. One question I do have, and I go all the way back until about maybe 1967, and our people were in trouble then. I have 9 brothers who have been in and out of the Statesville Penitentiary. I've had 4 nieces who have been in and out of, have been in Dwight. And we go back to the unity within our community. The unity within our community where we build up each other. I remember a time when the gangs used to call the truth, and it wasn't one. When they said no shooting, there was no shooting. And I understand now that I'm much older. I'm back in Chicago. I've been in and out of Chicago a long time. And they said that there is no gangs. The gangs are gone, and everybody is renegades. How do we, as black women, who have sons and daughters and nieces and nephews that are gang affiliated, and we do know that they are participating in some facets of something, whether or not it's organized
or disorganized,
or disorganized. How do we, as an ex-gang member, what do you say to the women? I know that these elections are going on, and they're going to continue to go on. Back in the 60s and the 70s, and the 80s, we were still struggling and fighting. But it's something that has gripped, although there was poverty back then. I lived in Chicago Housing Authority. I lived in Woodlawn. But I'm saying today, what do the men say to the men, and what do the women say to the women? Speak to us on that issue.
Because
this political
right.
game
hey.
That they're playing out here, this political game is going to continue. Talk to me on the ground.
Right. Let me share something with you. This is what you do. And this is what you tell them. You think it was an accident that those two brothers got caught for killing Hadia? Do you think it's just happenstance that they got two people of interest in the last killing of the young lady in North Chicago? This is what you tell them. We are serious about stopping their sister shootings and killings. And the mothers need to tell their babies. If you involved in it, I tell my children, if you involved in sister shootings and killings, the raping of women and children, the disrespect of the elders, I am not helping you.
Sister Naima, please. Let me input on the women's scene because Sister Naima and I have a women's group that I'm dealing with right now, Sisters in the Spirit. And the Universal Higher Power gave me that in 1990. And I've known Wanda for a long time also. Remember Wanda, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams?
Absolutely.
Yes. And my husband and I attended her marriage when she got married. Rhonda knows me. And I went over when she had the newspaper. She was trying to teach me about newspaper business. Remember when I used to come by and you were trying to form a women's group there? Remember, Rhonda?
I do.
And I did go. But now my point I'm making is that I started my women's group in 1990, and I've had several health challenges. And let's say I was in a coma. Let me share this briefly. And I was asleep for 5 months. And when I woke up, I asked the universal God, what do you want me to do? And the Spirit said, go back with the women's group. So right now, I have sisters in the Spirit. That name was still there after 21 years. So you know that was an ordained thing there. So right now, I'm working with women, women of color, African-descended women, and trying to uplift them and encourage them. Now, let me say this to you, brother, and to my wonderful, beautiful women of color. It's difficult because I look at the women, and I know they've lost sons, grandsons, nephews, and the males out here on the street, and the girls are coming and happening and being killed and murdered, and the girl children.
Yes.
So what I try to do, and I've been doing this a long time, is to help uplift the African-descended people. Now, briefly, I had a nonprofit called Give Community Services. I had that for 6 years, where I was, and I didn't know this until the director of Cook County GED told me in Springfield. He said, Cynthia, you don't know how unique you are. I ended up being the only independent nonprofit providing adult ed and adult literacy, just like the city colleges. I didn't know. I'm just doing what I felt that the universal God wanted me to do. That's the whole spiritual thing I did. Being the only one, and I know they kept looking at me real funny, so I was out here helping the people who were the dropouts. I came, left CPS and did the support group on that level. So, ladies, I know, and others that I've met along the way, we're out here working in the vineyard. We're not just sitting in the churches and just looking at the pastor. We are strong black women who come from Mother Africa, as I recognize and realize, and what I teach as spiritual counseling teacher, is that we are a great people, and we as women of color need to understand our history. The Caucasian sisters, they talk about godlessness. And I say, well, what is that all about? Then the universe brought the information. They're basing their guardianship on us. They look to the women in Africa. They have this knowledge. We don't. I will
well, you know,
this to both of you and
but,
all of
but before you. Before you get into that, I'm going to take a quick break.
I have a beautiful video on the greatness of the black mother.
We're trying to
a young
figure
man
out
on the show with me.
Yeah. Well, hold on a moment. Hold on a moment. I need to take a quick break. And when we come back, I specifically want to ask Brother Gator, please hold on, because I have a question I've got to ask you. I'm glad you called in, and it's critical, and I believe you're a person who can really address it. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hold on to my
thank you,
family at American Muslim 360. You're listening to The Female Solution, and I thank you all for holding on. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Enjoy a clean home without lifting a finger. Come home to a totally clean house and have more time for yourself and your family. At Spick and Span Home Cleaning, we do the cleaning for you. Call us today for a free estimate at 773-936-9811. No house is too dirty. Again, that's 773-936-9811. We are waiting to clean for you.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
And we're back. You're listening to The Female Solution. I'm your host, Naima Latif, along with my co-host, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams. And we've got on the line with us today, Sister Wanda Carter. And Sister Margot Richmond, who have put together a fabulous celebration of those who are making a difference, the woman-to-woman
Media Awards coming up this Friday here in the Chicagoland area. It's, of course, going to be Friday, 7 p.m. In Harvey. And we've also got joining us Brother Wallace Gator Bradley, a longtime activist and one who has been to the White House as well as, what do you think, the out-out. But, you know, but one of the things that I'm so glad you called, because what has been hurting my heart, and we talked about this at that 6 o'clock hour on our American Muslim 360 station with brothers and sisters around the world, and really looking at what men must do to touch the hearts of these misguided young men. And I want to ask you, how possible is it, based on the fact that as Margo pointed out, you know, that the gang structures aren't what they used to be, where you had specific people accountable, and there's this random violence, kind of like disorganized crime, how possible is it to pull together the factions for a truce, and who needs to be a part of that effort? And I know you're a person who can help make that happen. How do we make that happen?
First off, the thing is this. We let the media view the misconception that there is no structure.
Ah, okay.
Okay? And the fact of the matter is this. The ones that's out there doing what they're doing, they're just like, they're known as hard-headed children.
Okay.
And what I mean by that, I'm tired of hearing people saying it got to be a two-household family or the single-parent excuse. Let me make this known as a fact, and you women know this as a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It always has been a single-parent family because the child come attached to the woman, not to the man and the woman.
That's interesting. Yes, well, that's true.
That's the truth. Okay, now, with that being said, and to address your question, you got Brother Minister Rico from the Vice Lord that they never thought would come out.
Mm-hmm.
God brought down the power to make individuals realize that TAMS has to close, and therefore he is home.
Mm.
He came home. All of us went to see him. And the one thing that he said to all the young leaders that still respect Jeff Ford, Larry Hoover, and him is this. We all need to go back and tell our children, our nephews, our brothers, to tell their children to stop. If you don't, the wrath is going to come down on you because that's the consequence for the choice that you made. Okay, listen to me now. Because we can stop this. If we, those of us, the women and the men, that has been locked behind them walls and have come back out, know that there is a discipline mechanism in the streets, behind them walls, regardless of what the president say, Rahm say, or the governor say. You follow what I'm saying? And the one thing is this. That's what made us come back out to let them know. Dude, you ain't no cleverer than us that God has allowed to get old. Those of us that may be weak, we know how to come get you. We might be the cable man that come in there and get you. You follow what I'm saying? So that's the only thing that's going to stop it. And going back to the voting process, if you ain't a part of it, you ain't got nothing coming. And if you let that woman, Holliston, whatever her name is, get that seat, and you got Rob trying to lock the power in the 7th Ward with all them jobs and development coming through there, you gonna have worse problems than you got now.
Well, that is one thing that I'm looking at.
What I mean by that, Rob, you the black women like nobody's business, and black folks elected a man that they knew did not care anything about black people.
Well, this all
you
comes
got
down
a man
to.
Listen to me now. You got to listen to me. You got a man now that don't care about your babies. He talking about closing 100-something schools like as if Darren Albert incident never happened.
And that had to do with closing the schools and then kids come from different, basically different gang territories.
Different communities.
Now he's talking about closing the last two schools in Oakdale Gardens.
Yes.
So my thing is this.
Disregarding what fuels this and knowing that it's more than likely going to cause some other incidences.
It's going to happen.
So then that brings me back to my original question then. Who are the people who can bring together the forces? I know a while back, Minister Farrakhan had a.
Wallace Gator-Bradley, Al Basket, Mr. Rico. You got brothers named Duffy Clark. He know who it is. They know who it is.
I was at Reverend Livingston's church.
Let me tell you something. They don't want to come to the black men that can make the difference. And we ain't waiting for them to come to us. We going to make the difference.
That's what I'm asking. I was at an event at Reverend Gregory Livingston's church the other night, and he had a brother who used to be gang member, who Sammy Rangel, who wrote a book, Myths of Forgiveness, and he also had a man there who used to be part of the Skinheads, and he written a book, My Life After Hate, and both of these are men who talked about their personal transformation, their personal spiritual transformation that made them recognize the wrong that they had done. And they are now new people on the inside. And what I found was a very powerful thing was the fact that they said, if you just reach out to these young men and show them some love and some concern, you can transform them because they're not bad people. But you're talking about not having any options for jobs, not having any guidance. So I believe it's possible. I believe men like you and Reverend Livingston and others, Minister Farrakhan, who's pulled together many factions and had a summit. I believe it can happen. But somebody's got to make it happen. And it's not going to be done from the government sources, the mayor, or any of that. They're talking about more police and all that. And we know it's the police that are putting guns out there half the time.
All you women got to do is this here. I'm telling you what y'all got to do. All y'all got to do is say, Rob, stop grabbing black women to use as black drops.
So what should women do in terms of their sons, nephews, brothers? What do we need to do to make this happen?
All they got to do is tell their babies that we are not playing out here. We didn't told them to stop. If they choose not to stop, they got consequences for their actions. That's what you tell your babies. And something else, their mamas know what their baby's doing. How you going to have a child living in your house with 22-inch rims on a Benz or a Cadillac and you ain't gave him a dime and he coming in there? You know what he's smelling like? If you there from the 60s, the reefer still smell the same.
But if he's paying the rent, then that's why mothers do nothing.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's an economic issue.
If he's paying the rent, he's bringing death to your door.
Yep. Amen.
Yes.
Come on now.
That's real talk. We as women, we have to make some decisions, some hard decisions, because there are many mothers who know that their sons are making money illegally, but these sons also are the ones that's
got the money that pays the bills, and so they say nothing. And they do hide the ones who they know have done crime, and then those who they know have done the crime, they come up with a lawyer that tries to get them off in whatever way they can. But the reality is we are enabling this to happen.
That's
so
exactly
we collectively
correct.
Have got to stop enabling, and we've got to all take the stand that we're not going to tolerate the violence. We're not going to tolerate it from those in our families, and all of us have somebody in our families that's misguided. So we got to make
it. The men and women that are standing up for these children that live in their households that are they know are criminals doing wrong, killing people, they need to stand up and take responsibility for their children's actions and bring those children to they need to talk to those children and help those children see the error of their ways and then get them the assistance they need, because if they allow them, continue to allow them to do what they're doing, they are enabling them. They're not helping them. And one day they're going to pay the price, because whatever we do, it may not come back to us today, but it will definitely come back.
That's true. But
listen,
you know, if you've got an alcoholic mother and a drug addicted father, they're not going to give the kind of guidance that a misguided young person needs. So that's when, as we talked about earlier, you got to have that whole community. You have to have everybody
that's
involved
right.
in parenting. Because we don't need policing, we need parenting. And all of us have to be the mother and the father to that misguided young man and woman who's out here creating havoc. But I would love to hear a time frame, brother, on when all of these factions can be pulled together. Because we gotta decide that we're going to do this. We got to decide that we're going to do make it happen. Make it stop. We got to decide that we're going to, even if it means putting the names of people out on the internet saying these are the ones who are guilty of this criminal activity in our community, all of us are going to shun them. I mean, whatever we got to do.
Hey, baby, the time is long past. All you got to do is pay attention to the results of what is happening. It's right before your eyes of what is happening.
But Mr. Bradley, I need to ask the question. So what if the sister doesn't come in? I'm a what if person right at this moment. What if the sister
okay.
doesn't come in? Do that mean that we're supposed to lay down and die? I think that one of the key things that we're not supposed to lay down and die, no matter which way it comes
hey,
in. Because what I'm saying to you is, I would like to see her win as well. But we should not lay down, fold up like pretzels, and take nothing off of any of our legislators.
Thank you. We have to stand up and be accountable. What do we do regardless of who wins, right?
Each one.
Come on now.
Hey, let me share something with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I have told you or I have recommended to you what it is that you can do. Okay? When you got a young black man that's the president of the A. Philip Randolph Museum, that is powerful. And that came from mentoring from myself and others, and from parenting from his single mother, who was the founder of the museum. What that means is this: A. Philip Randolph was a strong black man that was responsible for the Pullman Porters, black men, that was real black gangsters, to form their own union. And he supported the women organizations. This is the history that we have. This is what we know.
But we didn't have nobody saying that if the police do what they do, they lock them down and put them in jail. And then we didn't have enough footage in them saying, well, if they don't do what they do in the community, they're going to be dealt with behind the prison walls or on the street.
I've been saying this for the longest, and I'm through saying it. We're doing it.
Well, let me bring in a caller. I've got. Well, hold your point. I've got some callers that want to join the conversation. Area code 813-407, I'm sorry, 409, from our American Muslim 360 audience. Go ahead.
A good day, good morning, assalamu alaikum, shalom, and everything else. My name is Bilal. I'm not God, okay? So that's it. We're not God. You understand? Just be human. Take care of your business. Handle your business. If your business is going out there dealing with the problems, deal with them. but you're not God. So we don't need to complain about nothing. If you want to complain, complain to God. If you want to pray, pray to God. If you want to trust God. You know, it's too big for us. We can't handle that. That's what we better wake up to.
So what do you think men like yourself could do?
Let's not grieve. Let's just have another business and take it easy. God is.
Oh, and tell us, and what city are you calling from, brother?
I'm from New Orleans.
Okay.
Oh, well, no, I'm from New Orleans. I'm calling
down
from South Florida. Believe me, it's too big for us. God is the only reality. You know, this world is a world of illusion. Do what you can't do. You know. Sometimes you got to pray. Sometimes you got to sleep. Whatever you do, trust God. And if God have you pray for 1,000 people, if He have you kill 1,000 people, so what? You know, this God world. This God is in charge. Be not in charge. Be satisfied with what you're doing. And do more, and do more, and do more. You can't handle it all. You send everybody to the nut house. Please, just be real with that. You know,
what is your recommendation? And I know that there in New Orleans, you say, I know it's the same kind of situation, the same kind of madness, the
let me tell you what I
see, the distress.
I look around the neighborhood and see what corruption they got going on there. And I said, but who that is? Oh, that's so-and-so, he did. I said, but you better go tell him he can't deal no dope in his neighborhood. Then after that, if it don't work, well, I'm going to call the police on him. I'm not going to be sitting around here talking about, oh, look, that's a crack house over there. I said, that's a crack house over there, and that come out my mouth? No, I'm supposed to be on the phone. I'm supposed to have the police. That's supposed to be closed down. I ain't supposed to be looking at corruption and talking about, look what they're doing over there.
Well, see, we've got a challenge here in Chicago where the police have lost a lot of the trust of the people, because a lot of the corruption, the police kind of help keep it happening. They help keep it, and one of them even admitted, as he told us, that, you know, they tend to encourage retaliatory killings between these various street organizations because, A, it makes their job easier, and, B, it kind of helps to one neutralize the other. So, you know, a lot of times you go to the police and you tell them something and they won't do anything about it because they
visualize
the national
conflict,
which is destructive.
I visualize civil war occurring here in America if people don't clean their act up. You know,
we're trying to avoid.
I'm telling you now.
We got to work on it. Well, I've got another call. I'm going to hold on, brother. I got another call.
I'm getting off the line. Y'all keep doing what y'all are doing. I love y'all.
Well, like I'm smiling. And thank you always for your input. And we've got a caller at area code 904-303. Thank you for calling the Female Solution. State your name and city you're calling from and your comment.
Yes, sister. My name is Tahaka, and I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes, sir.
I'm just fine. I would like to add, once again, our solution to the problem here in Florida is the men have taken responsibility for a particular area and begin to turn that neighborhood area into a self-sustaining community and providing employment and protection for the people in that area. And that is a very, very workable solution for us, and we're maneuvering in the position now to begin to completely disconnect from the city grid so that we will not need any police presence, because the men run a 24-hour shift of protection and guidance, and there is no drug dealing in the area. The territory is marked, and everybody know that there's a different breed of men in this sector. And I just wanted to add that. I know your time is fleeting. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Well, Brother Sahaka, we probably need to ship you in here to Chicago to give us some guidelines on how you're doing that there in Jacksonville, Florida, and the success you've had, because we here are overwhelmed not only because of the drug trafficking, but because those who are in law enforcement, a lot of them are corrupt and a lot of them are instigating the violence. And so we've got factions of people that are trying to prevent us from solving the problem. And there's my brother Gator here on the line, Wallace Bradley here. He's one of those who could help facilitate a solution. But then you have resistance, and we've got other organizations that have we've got Ceasefire and other organizations that have really been trying to facilitate some type of a peace, some type of a solution, some type of a change within those that are committing the disruption. But there's resistance that they're getting because, you know, this whole thing is profitable. I mean, the prison is a business, and there's not an interest to stopping the crime. There's an interest in making it continue to be profitable. So that's why the prisons are privatized, because it's a business. So since we know this, we have to have our own agenda, and that's why, of course, honoring my sisters today, Sister Margot and Sister Wanda, who are honoring the men who are in the trenches and really helping to change the images, change the media messages, and supporting them who are changing those media messages, so that we can change the mindset. Because this is what we've got to do. We have to change the thinking of young people. And then we have to support those who can actually change the reality.
Our people are like this. They will react and respond based on what they see. And the key is to give them something to see. So we can change all of that simply by creating and realizing that there are no communities, there are no African-American communities inside the United States. We have neighborhoods, and we're going to have to transform these neighborhoods into thriving, self-sustaining communities. We're going to have to provide protection. I have just come out of Key West 3 weeks ago and got a confirmation and agreement with some Haitians and Cubans. And they have agreed to provide us with aerial support in the event of an uprising in our communities. We carried the schematics of our city, the water grid, the entire thing down there. And with all the
serious down there, all right now.
Marked of the enemies, and the planes are not to come over the ocean, but they are to come across the land. And so we got that set.
That's what it takes. Well, we've got about a minute left here. I've got another caller I'm going to bring into the conversation. I want to remind our listeners here in the Chicagoland area to attend the upcoming event this Friday. And, Wanda, you want to give us the particulars, the name of it, the time, place?
Okay. This Friday from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Harvey Community Center in Harvey, Illinois, at 15320 South Center Avenue, we will be saluting Sheroes and heroes of the community that have done specific things that we want to acknowledge. So please come out. It's a free event, but of course, we would accept and appreciate any donations that someone would like to make. Come out and see the award ceremony.
90 seconds.
Refreshments. We're going to have a band and a DJ and a photographer, and we're going to videotape it for television. So come out and
in the Chicago area. Yes,
and share your views and let's let the world know what's on our mind.
All right, and of course, you can watch it on the Woman to Woman show, and as well as you'll be able to see portions of it on
60 seconds.
Show. And you can, of course, reach me on my website, www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And we've got about 30 seconds left, but I'm going to give our listener at area code 682-365 a chance. You've got about 20 seconds to make your comment.
Yes.
Area code 682. Tell us where you're calling from. Your name?
This is Dolphin Norris again, out of Chicago and out of Texas and stuff. How are you guys doing? Really enjoying you guys today. Simple thing. Everybody had the right answers. However, there's an idea that rules the world, and it's called group economics. If you want to bring down the violence in any place, you don't see any gang violence in town nowhere. It's because of group economics. They practice spending their money among themselves. And if women especially, because you guys control the purse string, if you learn to spend the money, the economics among ourselves, crime will drop drastically. And the young men are looking for guidance. We have a center. We have blocked off 3 miles by 3 miles. It's called Inglewood. And that's where we began our movement to empower our young men on a positive note. And we're having our first meeting there this Saturday at 6:45.
Okay, well, perhaps you all can do what our brother Tahaka in Florida is doing in Jacksonville, where they've actually blocked off an area and
he's already doing it.
Well, all right, there you go. So that's where we start. We have to secure the areas where we live. We have to have the men who are taking responsibility for patrolling and protecting those communities. And, of course, those of us who know the history, we know that actually the so-called gangs really started as those kind of structures of protecting the community. That was the foundation. That's where they started, and that was the objective. And somehow it got twisted. Of course, we know it was by design. It got twisted into the drug trafficking, gun-toting kind of organization and organized crime element that it's been known to be today. But originally, the intention was to secure our communities for the safety of our families and to have that kind of economic support and interaction so that we're circulating money. That was our intention. We had the Black Wall Streets and neighborhoods where we control the income and the dollar flow. So that's what we've got to get back to, and I believe we can do that. And my brother, Gator Bradley, I would like to see those who have that mindset organize our street organization for the positive good of patrolling and protecting our community. I believe it can be done. I believe those same individuals who have put together structures that are financed by drug trafficking can be transformed into the same kind of structure that protects and provides for our community. I believe it can happen. We just have to change the hearts of the people. I believe
that's why we encourage you guys to come out Saturday. The men, all the men come to 6855 South Emerald Saturday at 6:45. We will make a difference.
Yes, sir. Well, I want to thank you all for holding on. And, of course, we're going to continue with our next hour. And I'm going to take a quick break. And for those who can stay with us, we want to continue our conversation because we do, in fact, have some solutions. We'll be right back after this break, and we'll be continue with our next hour and solutions to the conditions in our community and honoring the men who have made a difference. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime, violence, and poverty if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, and my co-host, Sister Wasifa Tarver, and Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, every morning, Monday through Friday, from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, here on Blog Talk Radio, as we connect with women everywhere and learn how to form healthy relationships. Collectively, we can heal our world. But first, we need to heal ourselves. Call in and join our discussion. 347-539-5639.
And we're back. We're now into our third hour. Of course, on Wednesdays, we have extended time because we're also connected with our American Muslim 360 audience around the world. And, of course,
We're also talking today with our special guest on the female solution, and I believe we really have an opportunity to come up with some concrete plans. We've got people who are doing that which we advocate needs to be done, and that is taking back control of our community. The people who have the vision have to take back control. We have to, whether we do it block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, square mile by square mile, however we do it, we've got to do it. And the people who are creating the havoc, I mean, they're not anonymous. They belong to somebody. They're somebody's child. There's some mother somewhere, some father somewhere. I mean, they know who these people are. So we can't keep acting like this is coming out of nowhere. This is coming out of our homes. The confusion, the criminal behavior, the drug sales, even if it's paying your light, gas, and phone bill, you know that your child is involved in this. And it does bring death to your family. Like the brother said, when they come looking, when the rivals come looking for your child, and they shoot and miss and hit you and your baby and somebody else's baby, this is what's happening. So we have the power to stop it. And we have to encourage the good in those who are doing something. I want to ask my sister Margot Weir, give us a synopsis of some of the people that you all are honoring, some of the work that they have done that we want to encourage others to do. And perhaps, or Wanda, perhaps you can give us a bit of insight on some of your honorees and what are the things that they're doing that we want to encourage others to do as well.
Okay. Well, we're honoring a variety of people with skills, such as our keynote speaker is going to be Mr. John Alexander. And he is a phenomenal person in terms of his capacity to work as a photographer. John does videography. He's a speaker. He had a rough battle with a medical condition that he's dealing with, and he's overcome so many obstacles in life. He has children, so he's a father. He's a community advocate. And we're going to be acknowledging him for some of those terrific skills that he has and some of his accomplishments in life. And so that's one person. We're going to be looking at Mr. Keith McDonald. Keith is a CAN TV producer. I met him years ago when I first became a CAN TV producer myself. He was on the board at CAN. He's tried to he's worked to make some wonderful changes come about there for people who are producers down there so that our voices can continue to be heard in our communities. And so we want to acknowledge him for that. Keith travels the entire city and works with Congressman Danny Davis to bring some life to the issues in our communities and put that broadcast that those issues on TV. So he's another honoree. Mr. Peb Ali is somebody we're going to be honoring. Peb is a what can I say about Peb? He's a fighter. He has done a lot of community work, bringing issues to the table, talking about new innovative products and services that can help us as a community. Peb is just an all-around kind of guy, and we're going to be honoring him because he is that kind of a person. He's a community advocate. And these are people that are out there in the trenches doing things that most people are doing, but nobody knows they're doing. And so we want to bring those folks to the forefront and acknowledge their efforts. Cyron Smith is another young man that we're honoring. Cyron is the gentleman that has organized the communities throughout the nation, really, that when someone has been killed or injured, he and his group of young people go and they try to console the family and bring some
awareness to the situation that occurred. And Siron is someone that we all should acknowledge because he has these campaigns going on trying to organize the community, trying to unite people throughout the community. And we just felt like we wanted the world to know who Mr. Siron Smith was. And so those are four of the honorees. We're going to be honoring Commissioner Sims for her diligent work in the Southland community. And I have known Commissioner Sims since she became a commissioner. And I know that she's been out there in the trenches trying to help as a county commissioner people do. You know, she's public safety, Forest Preserve, all those issues that are addressed through the Cook County Board of Commissioners. She's out there doing it. And then we have, let's see, Zenobia Finney, who is a resident service coordinator at the Vivian Carter Apartments. And she is the person that organizes all of the events and activities that take place in the senior and disabled building. And she is the one that addresses the needs and the concerns of the residents here in this building. And so we're going to acknowledge her for her continued effort to do just that. So that's just an overview of some of the people that we're going to highlight tonight. And I hope that many of you will come out and hear these tributes to these wonderful people and acknowledge them as well through whatever means that you have. So, Naima?
Yeah, I think that the key word that you mentioned in all of these is community, you know, being active
yes.
in the community. And really that's where the work has to be done. It's among the people so that you're not just a nameless, faceless person. These are people who know the individuals in the neighborhood, people who have worked hand-in-hand with the resident and people whose lives have been affected. So I think that that's
wait. I forgot. I got two more people that I didn't acknowledge. Mr. Bob Storman, most people know him. He works out in Thornton Township, and he is a community public relations person for the Thornton Township. And we're going to acknowledge him because Stormy has done so much to try to bring other African-American people out into the Southland to acknowledge their skills and efforts. For about 7 years, I taped for Thornton Township and put their outreach on to CAN-TV. And so we're going to acknowledge Stormy for his efforts. And then lastly, Reverend R. Ken Turner, who's over at Southside Unity Community Church. He's a New Thought minister, and he is working tirelessly mm-hmm. to people come and be acknowledged on his show, which is called CAN-TV and airs on CAN-TV as well, to try and bring our youth together. He wants to work with male children to help them understand how to be men. And so everybody that we're honoring are doing something with the community. And that is what we want to acknowledge.
Well, that is fantastic because we want to always acknowledge the good. You know, that's really mm-hmm. part of what changes things. The reason why we get so overwhelmed is because the image that's always portrayed is that nothing good is coming out of the city of Chicago mm-hmm. or anywhere else in the country. And we're always, whenever we hear news reported, it's always about the crime, the violence, the decadence, and all these things. So we get discouraged and feeling like we don't have the ability to change things. So I'm really glad that you all are not only acknowledging people who are doing these things, but even changing the impression by putting it in the media that
right.
there are people who have successes. That's why I enjoy the callers on this show that come in. And we've got many, many strong men and women around the country who have programs, who have
projects that they have made successful, people who have turned the lives around of many because of their efforts. So it is doable, and we should never get so overwhelmed that we think it's not possible to change this condition. There are people who are doing it every day. Matter of fact, your keynote speaker, John Alexander, I've been with him on several occasions, and we've been in public places and McDonald's restaurants where groups of young men and women come in rowdy, disruptive, about to fight, and he would just talk to them like a father, just explaining to them that if you conduct yourself this way, then the owner is going to feel threatened and call the police. You'll end up in jail. Your whole life is destroyed. And he was able to just calm them down and just speak to them as a father. Didn't have weapons, didn't you know, come at them like police, just as a father figure. And I watched a lot of those young men who had been previously rowdy, screaming, cussing. They calmed down. And then some of them came and said, you know, I don't have a father, and I really need somebody to talk to. And it brought tears to my eyes because I'm seeing that a lot of this disorder has to do with men not having fathering. And that's what we talked about early in this show this morning, and realizing that the crux of the problem is that young men need the father figure in their lives. They need that strong male. They need the tough love, but they need that male that gives them a sense of who they are and what they should be as men. And when they don't have that, the only thing they have is a misguided understanding of what manhood is. So they need to hear from the brothers who are organizing the community and protecting the community and providing training programs. They need to see the brothers that are developing economic programs that enable them to sell legitimate products that are legal and earn a living. I mean, they need to see that, and they need to know it exists, and they need to hear from these men, and they need to hear from the brothers who say, look, if you get out of order, we will enforce some consequences. They need all of that, because all of that's part of fathering, and that's what's missing. And if we can bring that back to them, we can transform their situation. I believe that. I believe every city where we have this crime and violence, we have the power to change it. And so I applaud all of the brothers who call in today, who represent the positive change. And I'm looking forward to hearing from those that you all are honoring, because they also are part of that positive change. They're part of that fathering spirit that we need to bring back to our community to help give guidance and direction. And we need to acknowledge the fact that there are those who are waiting for us to fail so they can take advantage of it and keep throwing our young men in jail. Because, again, that's a business. That is the business by which this country has maintained slavery, and it's in the 13th Amendment that slavery is outlawed, except if you have been duly convicted of a crime, which means all of these companies that are using prison labor to do their work so they can pay them little or nothing are still using slave labor, and the prison system provides it. So we got to know that's the ultimate plan for if we do not succeed as parents. And that's why everybody who's doing a positive work, we need to applaud them, we need to encourage them, we need to support them. And come on out and be at this award ceremony and be inspired. I believe that we've got such men and women across this country that are doing the work and need to be encouraged, because we can take back our communities and we can take back our children. We've got a caller I'm going to bring into the conversation on area code 312-671. Thank you for listening to The Female Solution. See where you're calling from and your comment.
Yes, way over y'all, Shalom. Assalamu alaikum. This is Minister Trump.
Yes, sir.
Minister Robert Flores Trump. I was hoping that Brother Wallace Gaylord Bradley was still on the. You still on the?
I'm online.
Good.
I'm online.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I wanted you to, first of all, beloved, to add my name to the Brotherhood. Because
all right.
You know me quite well. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid. And it's about the fact that. You know, you all can reach me at 312-671-2773. We do have a special program for all the men, women, and children, including Bay children, And we are located at 235 East 58th Street every Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30. And I would like for you to be my special guest, and also Century 21. I'd like for you to share with the people, I believe you said your candidate is Robin Kelly that you're promoting.
Right.
Yes, sir. Share my name with her, and also with Brother Paul. You know, that's one of my godsons.
Right.
Also, you know, we have, you know, the fact that Mayor Washington is my godfather, and Dr. Margaret Burroughs is my godmother. That's being mentioned pretty much every day. And so you know the kind of roots that you are and the roots that we are from LSD, Laura Stones, and Disciples. You know, a lot of people don't mention the fact that, you know, the HarroldWashingtonFoundation.com is where you can also find us, and that we are definitely going to help stop the violence, robbers stealing and killing in the neighborhood, and trying to do some more good, and we can never do enough of that in righteousness for the best interest of the community at large. So I just want to make sure that you add Minister Robert Floyd Plump name to the Brotherhood. And that's very important to us, you know, because I'm all about success breeds success. Thank you.
Well, all right. Well, that sounds good. We got the Brotherhood growing, and all of the, and there are so many strong men in our neighborhoods, in our communities, that are men that are out here in the trenches. That's why I know that those who have been renegades or whatever out here, misguided, or maybe even following the instructions to, you know, go and do a retaliatory killing. But, you know, the fact is you can't shoot straight. You haven't had any gun range lessons. So somebody always ends up, you know, a Hadia or someone else always ends up killed in the crossfire. So that whole element needs to stop, because war is not the answer, whether it's at home or abroad. It just isn't. So we gotta be able to teach our young men and women how to negotiate peace, how to even negotiate if you want to talk about sales territories. I'm not going to get into the legality or illegality of drugs, because the fact is, I mean, they have entrepreneurship and a sales system and a product and a clientele, all the things that you need for a strong economy. They just got a product that's destructive right now. So you take that same system and give them a product or some product that are legitimate and life-producing instead of death-producing, teach them real business. I mean, business in terms of negotiation, you know, taking care of your financial record-keeping, taking care of business in a way that empowers you as opposed to making you a pawn for the prison system. I believe we can do that. But you got to teach, and I mean seeing people not as garbage, seeing them in a divine light, seeing the potential of what they can be. The same intelligence that they have that they're using for the illegal business, they can use that same intelligence for a legal business. So we have the power to do this. I believe that. And I believe everywhere that there's a young man who is misguided can certainly I believe everywhere that we have people who are confused, we can give them guidance so that they are able to be productive. And I believe that we have the power as women to change the hearts of those men who have grown up with hate and self-destruction. But we got to be honest about who we have living in our houses. We have to be honest about their activities, because we're not helping them by shielding them. And I think that's the biggest challenge that we have, is admitting Lil Pookie is one of the major gangbangers out here and, you know, and has taken some lives. And it hurts, yeah, you know, no mother wants to turn in her son. Every mother wants to feel like, well, you know, give him another chance. But if somewhere along the way we didn't
set some standards and some rules, and or we lost our moral authority over them, then we got to pay the consequences too. And then sometimes it means having our children taken away for a few years while they serve time. We don't want that to happen, but that's the consequence of losing your authority as a parent. Someone else then takes over. So we have a job to do, and I believe we have the power to do it. So now one of the things that I would like to ask, and is my brother Tahaka still on with us from Florida? Well, then let me ask you, Brother Dolphin, because I know that the Inglewood area that you all are working with has had international attention at this point now for the wrong reasons. How do you go about creating an economy in a neighborhood where the businesses have left and the only thing that's keeping it afloat is the money from the drug sales? How do men and women go about creating an economy? And I know in that area there are many positive programs. You know, sister right over in that area who has an after-school program. She's been on our show with Wanda and so forth, talking about youth development and training and so forth. But how do we generate capital in those kinds of areas?
That's a very good question. It's food, shelter, and clothing. Those are three primary areas that if you are covered, then violence goes down in your community. The only area in Inglewood that has any viable business is on 69th and Ashland. It's corporate America with the Food for Less, Subway, and all the other corporate chains. Along 69th Street itself is a ghost town. At its peak was 97,000 residents. It was the third wealthiest community in the state. Presently, it's less than 30,000. And off. It was literally a ghost. There's vacant lots in them. Almost as there are residents. What?
And I think that's probably the biggest challenge when we have businesses that have left. I mean, there's that same reality. We're attacking people who sell drugs, but there's the reality is that they could not sell what people don't buy. And when people are full of despair, they tend to want the escape of a drug high. So that's why you find drug sales very high in depressed areas where people, because they don't see a way out, they just go for that temporary escape, that soothing of the distress that drugs bring. So they become the repeat customers. And so that becomes the industry that actually creates a cash flow in those depressed areas. So this is a whole situation that we're battling. It's not enough to just say, you young men, stop doing what you're doing. We've got to change the whole condition that creates that as an option and the only option that they see.
Okay,
I remember several years ago when Minister Farrakhan was trying to get the various churches and other organizations to perhaps develop a product that we use every day, whether it was toothpaste, mouthwash, soap, toilet paper, you know, develop a product, create a factory, create a manufacturing means where we could circulate money supplying our needs. And as soon as he stepped out with that and got a $5 million loan from Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, the government shut him down, you know, called him, you know, conspiring with terrorists and all that, and threatened George Johnson, who was going to finance the production of hair care products. So even our attempt to reach out and get financing to change the economic condition in depressed areas was circumvented. So how do we change this cycle?
Okay, my question would answer your question. It starts with food, shelter, and clothing. Shelter.
Okay.
Let's start with shelter. There's enough vacant lots
that's even owned by the city of Chicago. And this is their long-term plan. Their long-term plan is to completely wipe out Inglewood and bring in Caucasians and other races in that area. That is their long-term objective. That's why Mayor Emanuel and the rest of them are leveling abandoned buildings instead of instead of creating jobs to create. But we have to do it ourselves. Like you said, with Omar Gaddafi, he wanted to give Minister Farrakhan $1 billion. Let's get the numbers straight. He wanted to give $1 billion to help uplift the black community. That is not on the long-term agenda. We have to realize that we live in a global system where racism does exist. Don't get yourself fooled and think it doesn't. It does exist. However, we're not to hate them because that's what they do. They're just trying to prevent genetic annihilation of their own race. So what we have to do is focus on our own. Group economics is the key. Instead of giving other, there is 1.5 million entrepreneurs that are needed in the black community. Like you said, the guys out here selling drugs and doing other things, they're the perfect candidates to make them entrepreneurs. And here's the thing.
Right. They have the skills. They just need a better product.
Let me finish, please. We want to give them an education and a vocation. Education of who they are and what they are. That's the purpose of the center over on 68th and Emerald. Also a vocation. We need to teach them to be electricians, carpenters, pipe fitters, plumbers, concrete men. See, and they can themselves, we will teach them how to build homes, build three fat buildings in all these vacant lots. And one thing I've learned about the youth, if you put them on a job, they go into bed at night so they can get up and earn some legal money. They know themselves that the dope that they're selling, they're making less than minimum wage. They know that. They don't have an alternative. The alternative is that we group economics. I cannot overemphasize that idea, Ms. Latifah. Economics, you ladies control the purse strings. If you make sure that you spend money among ourselves, say you got to get your hair done, spend it among ourselves. You, anything and everything, be conscious of the nickels, dimes, pennies, and quarters, and the dollars will take care of themselves. We have to make a conscious effort, especially those that are doing well. It's a lot of people, they're paying $2,000-$3,000 mortgages. They're buying up Neiman Marcus, but they're giving it all back. One thing I would like to emphasize,
I applaud those who have focused on the economic reality because that is where the foundation of this problem is. People striving to survive, and you're right, you do need food, clothing, and shelter. And certainly I applaud the sister who in that area has been working with after-school programs and training our young people and preparing them because you do have to have a mindset, you know, if you're going to be disciplined as a business person, you have to be disciplined with your time, with your skills, and with your commitment to serving your clientele, whatever that may be. So, yes, those who are entrepreneurs in a sense that they're selling a product that is in demand, even though the police are hunting them down for it and they're shooting each other for the rights to sell it and all of the negative aspects of it. But the fact of the matter is what is needed is a product that is enabling us to circulate our money, and women do a lot of the sales. And so if we are able to train our people on how to produce the things that we need, clothing, you know, buying from each other, whether it's products and so forth. So, yeah, I think that all of us who are working in that area and training young people need to be supported and need to be enabled to bring those skills and bring that training.
May I say something also, please? Just one last thing. Inglewood has more vacant lots than anywhere else in the city of Chicago. A couple of places on the west side are comparable. However, we need the food part. We need to take the initiative to create community gardens throughout that area. Not only does it help you feed yourself, but at the same time it helps changes your emotional and psychological state. Most children in depressed areas think food is grown in jewels. or for right. for that. So we have to change
the mind. Well, Michelle Obama, she was pushing that and still is pushing that, growing food, eating fresh vegetables. I think we all know what has to be done. It's a matter of organizing the skills, and everybody who's working in the area actually working together to do it. And I think so many of us who know what to do need to hook up with those who are doing it or those who have the resources to do it in order
and
to make it
happening.
Happen.
That is happening. That you will see Inglewood flourish this summer. I promise you, you will see more gardens in Inglewood than you've seen in a long, long, long time.
I would like to add something, if I could, sister.
Go right ahead.
Okay, the brother is absolutely correct about that particular economic product, and that's exactly what we are doing here. However, what we have counted 17 lots in our territory, and we are putting what we call urban and aqua and hydroponic systems, where
mm-hmm.
the fish that we put there provides fertilizer that travels throughout the system through a pumping system, which grows the organic fruits and vegetables, and the fish is organic fish, and we are separating the smaller fish to keep the system going and building these systems vertically until we are able to feed the entire community absolutely free, and at the same time sell our fish and vegetables outside the community for profit to continue to expand the infrastructure. Now,
what is your name, brother?
My name?
Yes,
my name is
number.
Tom.
Okay. What's your number?
My number is 904-303-9061.
And they have a community in Jacksonville, Florida, where they have really been very successful in taking control of every aspect of the community, everything from setting a standard of behavior and establishing security with the men in the community, as well as setting the groundwork
for an independent system. We have a core group, and inside the core group, we are all master teachers of law. And what we do is I've created a massive library, and our primary objective is to put that library, it's online, inside the homes of all the people in the community, and that way we can teach them to become masters of law. Because once they learn and master the true secrets of economics, then we can make our community self-sustaining and also produce others who are masters of law. And they are able to feed in the production of their own food. We are able to set up our credit unions throughout our community and then expand
mm-hmm.
the community. And then we are setting up a team of ambassadors. Just like I mentioned earlier about going down to Key West and getting aerial support, our ambassadors are to go across the country and aid other people in taking control of their neighborhoods and transforming them into thriving, self-sustaining communities. Now, the stores, anybody in your sphere that is don't look like you, they got to go. And the way we do that is simply through complete community cohesiveness in a boycott situation. And then we'll take over that building and begin to employ the young people. We're taking the young men, and we are giving them certain whole blocks during the summer months where they can be employed. But a small, tiny portion of what the residents are going to pay these young men and women goes back into the economic pot for future investment. As far as politics is concerned, no one is allowed to come in our community and petition to be voted for unless you are able to sit down with us and explain to us
what you are going to do for this particular community in exchange for our vote.
Mm, that's brilliant. We've got a caller on bring to the conversation at area code 248-595. You're listening to the Female Solution. Thank you for calling. Your name and where you're calling from and your comment.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Naeem from Detroit, Michigan. The brothers is up in Chicago. All they have to do is go up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They have Will Allen up there that's been in that hydroponic business for about 20 years. If you want experience or any information, just go to YouTube and you bring up his whole operation, you know. So.
And what's it called?
His name is Will Allen. Basketball player, and from out of some part of Michigan, but we went up there to visit his place, and everything that they're talking about, he's been doing it for 20 years, and people come from all over the world to get the experience to take it back to their neighborhoods to start gardens and greenhouses and raising fish and everything, you know. So they could go up there and get a lot of information, or go to YouTube and put in Will Allen, and it'll come up.
W-I-L-L-A-L-L-E-N, Will Allen.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, I'll certainly look for that. And you know, there we have it. I believe that this is doable. We got all this vacant land here, and I'm sure in other cities where, you know, it's just vacant. And
yeah, the same thing is happening in Detroit, too. We're called the Greening of Detroit, and the vacant lots in and around the mosque, we're buying up land and different properties. The city has given us for about 8 or 10 cents a square foot, and we're turning it into productive land, organic gardens and everything. So we're raising bees and, you know, it's just an ongoing thing that a lot of cities that has turned into vacant land, and people are doing a lot of great things throughout the whole country, St. Louis, all throughout the country.
But that is fantastic, you know, and I am certain that we can take these same folks that are selling drugs and have them sell apples and oranges and bananas that we've grown on our own land. I do believe it. I believe it's possible. And I want to thank you for sharing that information. I'm going to definitely follow up on that and advocate that groups of us go and see what they're doing there in Milwaukee, those of us who are in the Chicago area and surrounding area, because it is doable. It is doable. We just have to decide to do it. And thank you so much for your call, brother. Got another caller at area code 646-378. Thank you for calling the Female Solution. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Hey, Muhammad, calling from Trenton. It's always a pleasure. Just to add to the conversation, because some of the information, I'm here for the first time with some of these groups that are really making headway in their cities. You know, they're claiming it, you know, and that's a model for those of us, like in the city of mine, where death rate is just extraordinarily high for the population. Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, no, I heard it exactly. But anyway, long story short, okay, we got to remember also that the slave master's bill popped his whip. I mean, truly, you know, and we can see it on a high scale of politics all the way down to on the ground, all the way. And the signal that's sent on high to the low on ground, we say fight on ground, but the battle is just as horrific, just as serious as it is on high. And somewhere we have to make a connection with those that are on high doing what they do, and not so much use a measure, same measuring stick of, you know, how they're doing it, and make a connection to where we are. And if we see the opportunity, let's seize it. And that's where I think now we have an opportunity to seize, you know, the opportunities and the finances and other things that may be available to us, and those that are in the middle can make that connection. Those on the ground, those in the middle, and those on top. Some way we have to make these connections to keep it moving concurrently
congruently so that we can make something happen for the future. And like the brothers were saying, the teaching and the economics, that's so, so, so important. And the one term the brother made, and it just stood out so, so boldly, was learn the master, you know, the essence of economics. Learn from mastering whatever your craft is, whatever your vocation is, so that you can make it work for you. Now, in addition to that, remember, again, that Willie Lynch letter, and that they still play that card in everything they do, and they buy out the leaders that get some potential working from the ground and say, listen, here you can get some money. If you let those who don't know, like, leave them sleep, we can pay you where you and your family would be all right, or just your group or your coalition. And we have a lot of people selling out. And when they sell out, it just kills the spirit of the on-ground, those who were just about to get involved or, you know, wake up, and they put them right back to sleep. So if we can, let's work together, keep this conversation going, and I think we're going to make headway. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that, and definitely appreciate the encouragement. I do believe that we have the opportunity to turn the situation around. I think we have the skills within our neighborhoods. I think we have the vision, and like you said, you have to have people who are dedicated so they don't sell us out. Because a lot of times, you know, when things begin to be successful and then money is flowing and there's an opportunity to generate wealth, sometimes if people are not used to handling money, then that's when they start to double-cross each other and sell each other out and steal and things like that. So we've got to have some integrity at the base of whatever we put together. We have to have some commitment that enables us to stay honest even as we begin to handle dollars. And the brother Sahaka was talking about, you know, credit unions and things like that. Well, you know, when you start developing financial institutions, you really have to have a high level of integrity and trust among those that are involved. So it's good to start with, as you say, a core group of people that you know is down with the philosophy, they understand the purpose, and you can trust each other, and that's where you can build from. And I believe we have that ability to do that in every city where we live. We have the ability to create gardens of fresh fruit that we grow and we farm. We have the ability to sell it just like we're selling drugs all the place. We have the ability to sell apples and oranges in the same way and bring life and health as opposed to death. I think we can do it. So I'm here. If my co-host, Minister Cynthia, has a question or comment for our callers.
I'm just so impressed and so awestruck by these men and the ideas that they can and will work to help
nice
the community.
Shot.
I just want to admire you guys.
Nice
I really
shot.
Love you all. Oh, my God. My husband's right
nice
here with me right now, but I'm loving all you men.
Nice shot.
And I just thank God for you and
yes
for the spirit that
yes
you are bringing
you
to our community and the love and the care that you feel towards us. But listen, I have a question for Wanda. Wanda, you still there?
I think
still there, Wanda?
To. I think she had to leave.
She had to leave because I had a question for her because she's working in Englewood, and one of the brothers talked about women and what we can do to contribute. And as I said again, I have a women's group, and I understand that as an African-descended woman, how important it is for us to partner with our men in doing the same thing that we all want to do who care, and that's to uplift our community. And the Englewood issue, which is a premier negative how can we say it? I know people that live in Englewood. I have an experience with my grandson grew up in Englewood. He's in Cook County Jail right now. But I haven't had shots, told him to shot somebody in the back. So in our families, we know when we feel the pain and suffering. The other lady that was on, they had the nine brothers, and she knows that because she had those who were incarcerated. So we do have that struggle in our families of people having been in contact with the criminal justice system, the new DRIMCO. I've been there for you also.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I'm saying, and I want to ask Wanda, but what
love
does
you
she feel, and what does
Bye
she feel of the attitude of the people in the community? Some of them, I know them, and some of them are very, very negative, very, very toxic. They don't go to church, not that church is the total answer, but they have no value of self. And I asked the 15-year-old because she showed me a picture of a dead body on the internet when she used to come over here and help me clean up. I'm serious. And I told my daughter about it, and my daughter, she said, yeah, Mama, that's what they do. They put the pictures of the dead bodies on the internet because this is their environment and this is their world. So I asked the 15-year-old girl, I said, well, what is the attitude of those in Inglewood that this is happening? She said, Miss Williams, all they do is just stand around and they hate her. They have no value of each other, and therefore they can kill each other like that. Now, she's 15-year-old, and her family members live in Inglewood. Very negative, very toxic, because I met some of the women there. And they have a very low self-esteem. So we need to, on the ground, build the women, and that's what I'm trying to do myself. And I know Wanda's right over there. I wanted to really ask her, what is the attitude of those over there as she works hard to lift up the community?
The women, the attitude of the women. And yeah, that is a critical thing. And as has been said, you know, women have to have consciousness as well, because we play a critical role in how money is spent and who we choose to empower with our dollars. So, well, Dolphin, maybe you can tell us what has been the response of those in that area as you seek to raise the consciousness about the power of economics and circulating our dollars. How has the response been? How has the activity been in enabling this vision to come to fruition?
Well, I can tell you this from my experience over there in Inglewood. You got Miss Hill over there at Imagine Inglewood, if that's also in that property. She is actually helping a great deal, raising the consciousness of the young ladies and men over in that area. She is actually doing an excellent job. And here's the thing about it. You have to understand something. Our youth are looking for guidance. And you have another person that's really doing something great, Miss Geraldine Smith. She's my partner. Miss Geraldine Smith was the only woman in Illinois to be on death row. She's also the only woman ever beat.
Matter of fact, I need to have her on the show. She's so inspirational.
Absolutely, and she's the only woman. She is the one that's being resurrected. She's teamed up with Inglewood, and they're doing some phenomenal things. The young ladies are looking for guidance. When I see a young man with his pants down, I tell him, man, you're going to make yourself impotent by wearing your pants down. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're going to not be able to have babies when you want to have them. They said, oh, for real? And they pull their pants up instantly.
Wow.
They pull their pants up instantly because it's something they don't want to lose. So they are looking for guidance.
We finally figured out the key to get them to pull them pants up. Thank you so much. I'm going to definitely use that.
Tell them when you're ready to have babies, you're not going to be able to have any because it's going to make you sterile because of the pelvis. And this is a scientific fact. It's a scientific fact. And they pull them up instantly. So believe me, the parents are coming up. The young ladies are looking for guidance. And we have to teach our young women that they are queens. And we have to teach our young men that they are kings and they're not to objectify women. And that's what has been taught by the system that we live in, that women are objectified. They looked at as objects, and our women are just falling, unfortunately, because of lack of training. They're dressing to be made objects. But if we teach them how to manufacture and create their own clothes, then they will start dressing like royalty, and then they will be treated like royalty. That's just a thought.
Yes, we've got to teach it. We've got to demonstrate it. You're right.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, well, of course, we want you all to get involved in the city where you are and making these things happen, because we have the power to transform the world we live in. We have all the tools we need. We have vacant land that's not being used for anything, and all it takes is a decision to take that land, grow food. There is nothing, and a lot of this vacant land is able to be purchased for a few cents per square foot, per square yard, you know. And we have the ability to take over these neighborhoods, take over these communities, and build what we need. We have the ability to create a food supply. I mean, all it takes is planting seeds. We can do that. We can teach farming.
Not that many. You know, I like these better. Yeah. I can use them year-round. But I only use maybe two rolls a week myself personally. I end up giving them to the classes, so it's not a real big issue for me.
Yeah, But I think that if all of us have the ability to share what we know, and also there are those who are trying to
But see, something like this, I put them up over the weekend, so it's not like they're taking them. So I don't know. I know they use them for everything. They use them like the cables, like the floors, like the shoes, boots, and everything. So they could be put some in the classroom. But, you know, I still use them for everything. That's why I kind of like give them to them, because I don't use it that much.
But I do believe
it's just not that useful for me. It doesn't absorb that well.
I do believe that we have an opportunity to seize the moment and to turn around the condition that we find ourselves in. We're not helpless. We have all that we need in terms of intelligence and knowledge and examples of those who have been successful in taking back control of the areas where we live.
Yeah, so they don't have to look at that.
I think all of you all who are doing this.
But yeah, it gets louder than that. So. And another thing is dream on it.
Yeah,
well, that's what usually happens.
Call us at 646-716-4478 press 1 when you're ready to join the conversation. And we want to give you an opportunity to share your wisdom and knowledge. And certainly we want to give you an opportunity to ask questions of those who are doing the things that we say need to be done. And it's always uplifting when we hear success stories. So certainly I'm going to, next time I visit my sister in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm going to take a look at that community and take notes and everything else to bring back to Chicago. Because I think
we're going to have our next summit in August. And at this summit, we're going to reveal where we are now. We already had one people come from all over the United States to hear the plans about what we were doing. And now that we have the place to begin, we have I don't know how it got there, but we have this giant screen that we can pull down like an outdoor theater and present information to the people in the community so that they can actually see Will Allen in action and see the potential of what we are doing where we are. So I would like to encourage you to come on down.
I need to probably bring my video crew and tape it and put it on TV, because I really want to inspire those around the country to realize we have the power to transform every neighborhood that is struggling under the grips of violence and crime. We have the power in our hands, and all we have to do is have the will. So maybe I need to bring my crew down there, and we interview you all, we show what you all are doing. Dolphin, of course, you know, he's on track with what needs to happen here in Chicago, but we need to inspire every city and every neighborhood and inspire those young people who think that the only way that they have is through drug trafficking, because they haven't been introduced to another product that they can sell. They haven't been introduced to a way that you can have a business and it doesn't have to be run through the barrel of a gun. You can have a way that you support your family and you don't have to be running from the police or a rival gang faction. You can live a life of honesty and decency and support yourself. So I think we need to perhaps take our production crew down there and show what you all are doing and put a documentary together so that the world can see that this is what we can do when the strong men stand up and the women stand with them, and we have a vision of where we're going as a people, and we can make it happen. And I believe we can make it happen, and it doesn't have to take another 20 years for us to figure it out. We can do it tomorrow. I believe we can. And so I'm looking forward to maybe coming down there and doing a documentary about what you're doing and also the information that was shared with us earlier about the, I believe it said, what was the name of the website? Allen, I believe he said it's on the website. We're going to
Will Allen.
That.
You just go
Will
to
Allen.
YouTube. Yeah.
Yes,
get him on. You just go to YouTube and type. type in Will Allen.
Yes, well, we're certainly going to do that. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us on the Female Solution today. We've had an opportunity to be joined by our American Muslim 360.
Thank you for using
audience,
Blog Talk Radio.
And we will
Goodbye.
See you again on Monday, on tomorrow. Have a blessed day.